I was thinking back to a day when I could concentrate on sermon prep in such a way that I would feel settled and centered and calm, you know. And this morning I was trying to do that and thinking, what do I need to have in my bag? And have I got everything ready? And I was being chased around the house by Lottie, who had a microphone stand, like a children's microphone stand, upside down, and she was using it as a metal detector, and she was detecting the metal in my belt and running around the house. So God help us. You know where we are, you know what you want to say to us, Lord, as a church today. And I pray that you would help me to convey that. You're welcome, Holy Spirit, to speak to us or to knock me out and do your own thing. Right, so week of prayer, I want to just quickly mention this before we get to the talk. If you want to sign up for, there's going to be an email today going out that's giving you the options for in-person gatherings to pray throughout the week. But if you want to cover a prayer slot, if you go to this QR code here that's in the event guide, that means you can just sign up. And it's the same mechanism. It's the basically, what's his name, Pete Gregg's lot, you know, the 24/7 prayer thing. You just sign up to that portal and you can take an hour prayer slot sometime during the week. It starts at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and goes through till the end of Friday. And then on Saturday, anyone who's involved in leadership in the church is going to be here on Saturday morning, and we're going to have some time praying into the year and sharing some things as well. So pray for us next Saturday as we do that. So motto text. Who can tell me what the 2024 motto text was? Ah, gold star for this one. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, 18. Yeah, there was a song to it last year as well that really helped to make it embedded in. A few years ago we had, encourage one another and build one another up. And each year we've had a bit of an emphasis, and it helps us to, and usually there's a bit of a teaching series that comes out of it, and it helps us as a leadership team to keep coming back to, okay, what is the theme and what is God saying to us through this year? And, you know, we have an underlying purpose as a church that happens every year. That's just an ongoing priority, which is reach, heal, prepare. So we exist to reach people with the news of Jesus, to see them healed in mind, body, and soul through the work of the Holy Spirit, and prepare them for living fruitfully for God. So that's our underlying purpose. We've got our vision statement, which is also available on one of the QR codes in the booklet, which is that on the website, I can see a place statement, which is what kind of God motivated me from a few years back. This is an annual opportunity to recalibrate and really set a focus for the year. Before we get to, my phone's here. Before we get to this year's motto text, which is usually held as a closely guarded secret, and it's big revelation in the middle of the sermon. And be that as it may, I want to read something from John 21. And this isn't particularly connected to the motto text, but it is an illustration, and I want to just read it and say some things about it. So this is John 21, starting at verse 4. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who it was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he'd stripped off for work, jumped into the water and headed to the shore. The others stayed in with the boat and pulled in the loaded net to shore. For they were only about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish in the net, and yet the net hadn't torn. So just a question. Why did they catch 153 fish? Is there any significance to that number? Anybody? Well, if you add together the number of books in the Old Testament... No, I'm joking. Not really. The reason why they caught 153 fish was because 153 fish fit in the net they had. Simple as. Simple maths. That's how many fish fit in the net. And I just want us to draw a parallel to the concept that Jesus, as he called his disciples, he told them that he was going to make them fishers of men, fishers of people. So if we just use that as a bit of an illustration to think about our capacity as Glendale Church, you know, this is our motto text for the year coming up. What is our capacity as a church? Is it the capacity in this building? One would hope not, because you can't often swing a cat. Is it the capacity at Wash Common Community Centre? Is our capacity limited to or in line with the quality of our sermons? Again, you might hope not. Don't know. What about the accessibility of our website? Or the quality of our coffee that we serve? Is it down to the effectiveness of my leadership? Again, I really hope not. Let's read Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Well, actually, we'll start at verse 18. Then Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's internationally, our motto text this year is in red ink. It's very exciting. The words of Jesus himself. Go and make disciples. Our capacity as a church is not the capacity of the buildings that we use. It's not the quality of our sermons. It's not the accessibility of our website. It's not what type of coffee we serve. It's not down to my capacity as a leader or the leadership team's capacity. Our capacity is our ability to make disciples. That's it. That's what we're commanded to do, and our ability to make disciples determines our capacity to grow, our capacity to see the kingdom advancing in Newbury and Thatcham. Our capacity is directly our ability to make disciples. So we're going to spend a few minutes reflecting on that. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to make disciples? It's quite a simple message, but I want us to open up conversation. So what I'm going to do, I'm not necessarily going to, I guess it's not technically a sermon. Maybe it is. It's really just the beginning, the opening up of a conversation through a series of questions that I'm going to ask for us to reflect on. They're questions that might feel challenging. They're questions that might make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. And that's okay. You don't have to be comfortable in church. Please, can you make note of some of the questions that I ask and use them, I think, for discussion at the dinner table, if you have people at your dinner table or at your life group, or when we have our leadership gatherings or when you're having coffee time, and just chat through some of these things because they're really important. And it's not a case of, you know, and we've had these conversations in previous years because I've asked the question sometimes because it's a historic thing. Year after year after year, we've had a motto text, and you say, well, by the time we get to Mars, does anybody remember what the motto text is? And if we don't, and if we don't embed it into how we live and what we do, then it's just a waste of time, and let's not do it. So can we use this motto text to begin a conversation that helps to shape how we behave in 2025? What we do with our lives, what we do with our time and our money and our resources, how we live, this needs to affect all of that. Or just a bit of a waste of breath, really, isn't it? So open up conversation and allow ourselves to be inspired and challenged by God's word. So, question, the first of many. This is about being a disciple. So we've got, how do I know I'm really a disciple of Jesus, and what does it mean to make disciples? The first part, being a disciple. Am I growing in my walk with God? These are serious questions to just reflect on. Am I growing in my walk with God? And that's about knowing the Bible. It's about recognizing God's voice, being sensitive and tuned in to God's voice. It's about choosing obedience, stepping out of my past. You know, many of us have got stories and a backstory and shackles that have been around our ankles and patterns of behavior. Are we stepping out of those things? Are we becoming more like Jesus? Am I pursuing and exercising spiritual gifts? Am I finding freedom? Am I facing my giants? So there's just a few things to start reflecting on. I'll just mention briefly something that we call the Big Five, which is on the back of this little vision card here. And they're just five things that we believe are really important in personal discipleship and connecting with and being a part of the local church. What does it mean to be a part of Glendale? You know, so being around on Sundays when you can, being a part of a life group, serving as part of a team, giving generously and having personal time with God. They're all really important things to be doing, very practical things to be doing that have really important spiritual significance. And sometimes they can just feel like a discipline, but when you do them deliberately and when you make sure that they become a part of your pattern of living, they can actually help to shape the way that you think. They can help you to grow. And they can help with a lot of these things about knowing the Bible, about how to know God's voice, about walking in obedience, about stepping out of our past, becoming more like Jesus, having the opportunity to exercise our spiritual gifts and stepping into freedom. So let's go a little bit deeper into this. What are the components that lead to those things happening? What practical things can I do that help me in those areas? A few years back, I always had a wisdom tooth here that never fully erupted. So it was kind of half out and half. I don't know if anybody's ever had that experience, but it wasn't completely out. So the potential for bits of food to get stuck in there, and you have to get in with this little brush, and it was really annoying. But I remember going to the dentist this one day, and he said, you've got a bit of decay starting there, and you need to make sure that you're brushing it thoroughly. And you know, obviously, the old statement, you know, you only need to floss the teeth that you want to keep. And he said, you're flossing. Yeah, you're getting into this bit here. And I said, well, I am. And I had this defensive, almost entitled, you're the dentist, you sort the problem out, you know. And I was like, I'm trying. He just said, well, try harder. I'm like, how dare you? It's like, he just said, they're your teeth. Like, they're not the dentist's teeth. It's not his responsibility to keep my mouth clean. It's my responsibility. And this life of faith that we live, this being a disciple of Jesus Christ, this life of faith must be practiced. Okay? It's not theory. We don't just come to do our stand up, sit down, sing a few songs and clear off home to have a roast chicken or whatever, and that's your spiritual bit done for the week. This walk with Jesus, this life of faith, must be practiced. It must be lived out. So here are another set of questions around personal discipleship. Do I spend time connecting with Jesus regularly? And if these are things that you're not sure about, things that you don't know how to do, please speak to us, because the whole purpose of this is about creating an environment in which we can grow in our discipleship, in which we can flourish in our walk with God. Do I spend time with Jesus regularly? If you want to know what to do to spend time with Jesus regularly, then just talk to someone. Find out what they do. Find out from as many people as possible, because there's different ways that people connect with God. Find out from as many people as possible, how do you spend time with Jesus? What does that look like? For me, it's listening to worship music. I like going on a long walk away from people. I'm actually a bit of an extrovert, I think, just about. But I really need to get away from people, spend time in nature, and talk to God and listen. Do I have a Bible reading plan? Do I actually deliberately read the Bible? Or do I just, I've got 3 minutes before I'm going to fall asleep, so let's just read a few verses of Psalm 23 and nod off, you know? And if that's all you can do, do it. Because, you know, and sometimes life's hectic and connect with God in whatever best way you can, but actually putting in pattern of reading, a pattern of study, a pattern of hearing from God will actually help us to grow. So if you don't have a Bible reading plan, there's brilliant opportunities. There's like YouVersion, which is the version of the Bible, which has got a whole load, an app, you know, and you can choose reading plans on there. You can do the Bible in 1 year. There's Alpha has got all sorts of resources in helping you to unpack the Bible. Incidentally, Glendale Church has got, you can log in as a member of Glendale Church on YouVersion, and sometimes the sermon notes are there in your Bible on your phone. Another question, am I intentionally in relationship with people who want to know Jesus more? That's where life group really helps. Am I putting myself into the situation where I'm being encouraged and inspired to grow in my walk with Jesus? Or am I avoiding that? Am I avoiding relationship? Because it's as we grow together, it's as we share our hearts, it's as we even become vulnerable with each other. This is what's going on for me. This is what my life looks like. This is what I'm struggling with at the moment. As we're intentionally in relationship with people who love us and who love God and who want to grow in him, that will cause us to grow. Am I dealing with my own stuff? You won't need me to give you examples. I'm sure you are all aware of areas of your life where you don't reflect God's nature. And they're things that we need to continually surrender to him. The hope is, and God's desire for our lives, is that we are making progress and stepping forward and finding freedom in those areas. Remember that old statement? I've met too many cantankerous old Christians to believe that sanctification is a foregone conclusion. Sanctification is a choice. It's our laying down of ourselves and allowing God to work in us. Am I dealing with my own stuff? Does God have my possessions? That's why giving generously is one of the big five that we call, and that thing, because actually, I mean, Jesus talked an awful lot about money, more than about many other things. And if he doesn't have our possessions, if he doesn't have our things, our stuff, that's a whole area of our lives that we're keeping from him, and he's our provider. So actually, does he have our possessions? Am I contributing to the building of his house? And am I pursuing the things of the Spirit? So that's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Am I allowing God to be at work in me to build and to develop those things, those characteristics in me? The charismas of the Spirit, so tongues, prophecy, interpretation, the prophecy, I've said prophecy, miracles, signs and wonders, healing, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, those nine gifts that it talks about in 1 Corinthians 12. Am I pursuing those things and am I exercising them? It's a lot of questions, aren't there? And a lot of soul searching and a lot of things to reflect on. Another question, am I then helping others to grow in their relationship with God? You know, I've said, make sure that you surround yourselves with people who, and pursue and seek out people who know Jesus and who love Jesus and who are going to help you and inspire you to grow in him. Ask God to show you, are there people who you need to be that inspiration to? Who can I pour into? Who can I encourage? Who can I inspire? Do I invest time in building relationship with people who don't know Jesus yet? And if not, think about how you can be doing that. And am I helping to gather and include people who are on the edges, people who wouldn't necessarily, you know, actually, just in a text, are you going to be there today? Looking forward to seeing you. Are you coming to Life Group this week? Why don't we go for coffee? Actually pursuing others and including them, drawing them in. Take off the blinkers, look around. Who is on the edge? Who is God showing you? You have an opportunity to draw in. And to encourage and to inspire. I'm not going to go into the discipling of others in a huge amount of detail, because actually I think if we really capture the heart of God in our own discipleship, I think the discipling of others will be a natural consequence. Think about that passage. I always forget where it is, and I should have looked. I think it might be in Peter. But anyway, it says, always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have. If you're growing in God, if you're walking in humility, if you're beginning to display that fruit of the Holy Spirit, if you're stepping up in exercising the gift of the Spirit, having a word of knowledge and being able to just speak right into the heart of someone, if we're walking in that way, we're going to be asked questions. Why do you have so much hope? Why are you walking like that? What's going on? And want and be interested and intrigued to know who it is that's alive in you. So invest in the growth of others. Now, I want to just say something about the discipling of other people that's really important. I've said this on other occasions in different ways, but this is really important. Discipling of others is all about pointing people to Jesus. I don't have and don't want any disciples. Okay, is that clear? Just get our heads around that. Because things can get very messy very quickly when I think I have a responsibility for anyone, or that I'm going to save anyone, or I'm going to rescue anyone, or that I can control or try to tell people how they should and shouldn't live. right? When we are drawing people in and when we're calling people to faith, we are doing so so that they become disciples of Jesus, not of me. I meant to say this, Joe, to you. So we're going to need the keyboard on in just a second. Could you, in a second, so we're going to do it on our own first, and then could you help us? Why don't you all, after I'm going to count to three, and at the count of three, sing out as loud as you can, middle C. Okay, middle C, just whatever you think to be middle C, okay? So, are you ready? One, two, don't play it yet. One, two, three, go. Right, can you play for us middle C? Not too far up. No. Okay. So.
Well done, Joe.
When we try to copy or imitate or be like or keep up with, compare ourselves with other people, we end up with a chaotic mess. When we aspire to be like, to pursue, to imitate Jesus, we hit middle C. You understand the we're all aiming to be like him. That's what discipleship is. We're not aiming to be like each other, keep up with each other. Of course, we can inspire one another. We can encourage one another. We can ask for advice from one another. That's fine. But we're not here to disciple people. We're here to help them to become disciples of Jesus. We calibrate to him, not to each other. That makes sense. Now I'm just going to, for a couple of minutes, ask a few questions. This is questions for leadership. So these are things that we're going to be talking about next Saturday. But it's good for you all to kind of be aware of these questions, because you might have things that you could input or question or comment on in relation to these questions. So this is, as a leadership of Glendale Church, here are some questions. Are we providing the right opportunities for people who don't know Jesus to meet him and get to know him? As a church, are we providing those opportunities? Do we invest in life groups, and are we deliberate about raising up sufficient life group leaders and training them and equipping them to propagate the growth that God wants to bring the church? Here's one that makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Are we stepping out of the boat and taking risks for the sake of the kingdom and reaching the lost? Or are we playing it safe? Are we stepping out of the boat and taking risks for the sake of the kingdom? Are we overlooking people or letting people slip through the net? People that we just forget about, don't notice. And are we keeping the main thing? And I feel like this particular motto text is a bit of a reset button, really. Is there anything that we are doing that falls outside of the broader remit of go and make disciples? Because if there is, I mean, there isn't really a point to it. And can we offer everything that we do, all of our activities, all of our gatherings together, all of our personal workplaces and things that we do throughout the week, can we offer all of our lives and all of our activities collectively and individually as a church, can we offer them to the Lord that we might make disciples through those things? So really, there's just to finish up, a couple of passages that I want us to look at. I think the passages pretty much speak for themselves, so I'm not going to ramble on about them I'm just going to read them and just leave it a few seconds after each time to pause and reflect and think about them. This is Paul. Both of them are from Paul, actually. One is him talking to the Colossians and the other is him praying for the Ephesians. But they're passages about discipleship, about growth, about deepening our relationship with God. This is him to the Colossians. He said, "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Lord, let that be so in our living. Let that be so in all that we do, in our families, in our homes, that we might know you better and better, that you will build in us spiritual wisdom and understanding. Place in our hearts, Lord, a passion to grow in you, a passion to contribute to your house, a passion to learn from each other, to learn from your word, a passion to read your word, a passion to pursue you in prayer, a passion to pursue spiritual gifts and to step up and to practice them, so that we might shed the stuff of our past and we may more and more reflect who you are and who you created us to be. And then a really famous little passage from Ephesians that we'll finish with, and then we'll pray together. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. This is Paul's prayer for spiritual growth. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Think about that. Christ, make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete in all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory be to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Cannot say it better than that. Why don't we stand together and just offer ourselves to the Lord at the beginning of this year. Jesus, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that your desire is to build your kingdom in us, Lord. It's to grow us. It's to cause us to more and more and more reflect your nature, to more and more carry your light, to more and more step out in your power and your authority, to be your hands and your feet, to shine your light, to live out the truth of your good news. Where the rubber hits the road. It's not theory. It's not some sort of nice, airy-fairy thing. It is real, and it is about our lives and how we live them. It is about the people that we interact with on a daily basis. It's about our choices. It's about us stepping into growth, Lord. It's about us choosing to be in relationship. It's about us choosing to be in a healthy place where we can grow. Lord, that our roots may go down into you. That you will strengthen, that, Lord, you will build your kingdom in us. We think about those giants, Lord, that we face, the things in our lives, Lord, that we struggle to surrender to you, the things in our lives that cause us pain, the things that we know don't reflect your character. We pray, Lord, that you will help us this year to step into freedom, to deal with those things, to walk in relationship, to walk in honesty and vulnerability, and to see your kingdom come and bring freedom in our lives, Lord, to see your kingdom come and establish your nature, your character in us, Lord. Build your kingdom in our lives, we pray. Help us as we, in our life groups and in our homes and as leadership teams and whatever else, to reflect on these questions and to think about how we can step forward together in growing in you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this church community. I thank you for every person in this room, everyone who will be at Wash Common. Lord, every life group leader, every person who commits to serving and to building your house, I pray, Lord, for encouragement for them. I pray, Lord, for inspiration for them. I pray more of your Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. Awaken us, Lord, to all that you want to do in and through our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm.